Welcome to the Good Life Network's conference call for investors and analysts. Today's call is being led by Mr. Jesse Dillon, Chief Executive Officer for Good Life Networks, and Konstantin Lichtenvald, Chief Financial Officer for Good Life Networks. With that, I'd like to hand the call over to Jesse Dillon, CEO. Please go ahead.
Ben, thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Good Life Network's first quarter fiscal 2018 earnings conference call. Q1 2018 is our first quarter reported as a publicly traded stock. On the first part of the call today, I will provide insights into the company's operating performance for the first quarter of 2018, along with an outline of our key performance indicators for the quarter versus the previous first quarter of 2017. In addition, I will provide some more insight into the letter of intent to acquire Impression X announced earlier this month on May 21st. After that, Konstantin will review our financial performance for the quarter, along with some of our one-time expenses related to our Go Public transaction. I will close GLN commentary by discussing our outlook, followed by a Q&A session, which will be initiated by the operator. First of all, a couple of quick housekeeping notices. Today's call is being recorded, and the recording will be available on our website in just a few days. We also want to remind you that our remarks today will include forward-looking statements that are subject to important risks and uncertainties. For more information on these risks and uncertainties, please see the first quarter 2018 MD&A filed by Good Life Networks. It's on our website, also on SEDAR. From time to time during our remarks, we will refer to Good Life Networks as GLN, which is the acronym by which many of you already know us. With housekeeping dispensed, I would like to commence the call by reminding everyone what Good Life Networks does and provide an overview of our performance for the quarter ending March 31st, 2018. Good Life Networks is the fastest programmatic advertising exchange for video in the world today. We have the proven ability to place a targeted advertisement three times faster than IAB standards. As a result, our growth is exceptional and our reach has become global. Our objective is to leverage our technical advantage to become the dominant independent programmatic advertising exchange for video. Besides Facebook and Google, we want to be the go-to vendor for programmatic video advertising. During Q1, we were granted patent pending status from the United States Patent and Trademark Office for our high-speed targeting and placement algorithms that underpin our business and deliver competitive advantage. We plan to operate GLN with low overhead costs. To grow our revenue while protecting and growing our margins, we are eschewing direct sales teams to instead focus on developing partnerships and connecting to our revenue streams via direct technical integrations. Later, I will provide more detailed commentary about integrations and what they mean for our performance. Excuse me. We believe that our low overhead strategy allows us to be profitable in market situations where margins are compressing or where volumes fluctuate. GLN has chosen to focus on video for our programmatic advertising exchange because we believe that video is the future of digital advertising. By 2020, 40% of all digital advertising will be in video format. We want to be on the forefront of that trend, a trend that includes all formats on all form factors, including mobile, desktop computing, television, and any other device that may have a viewing screen. We want to be there, and frankly, we have the technology to do so. Key performance indicators. For Q1 2018, Good Life Networks generated $1.32 million of revenue, which is a 21-fold increase in revenue reported for the previous Q1 2017 of $60,000. In the digital media sector, the first quarter is typically the seasonally worst performing in terms of revenue and earnings. For example, Q1 2017 represents less than 1% of total revenue for full fiscal 2017 reported at $9.7 million. For full fiscal year 2018, we do not expect Q1 performance to represent such an extremely small portion of revenue as reported in Q1 2017, because Q1 2018 revenue performance was positively impacted by a baseline of 17 integrations completed during the previous year. In general terms, and excluding the impact of acquisitions, Q1 revenue should normally represent between 4 and 8% of total revenue for the full year based on the seasonality of the industry. During Q1 2018, GLN completed 7 net new integrations, of which 2 were announced by a press release. Exiting Q1 2018, we were operating with a base of 24 integrations. We continue to believe that we're on track to attain our objective of 30 net new integrations for fiscal year 2018, ending December 31st, bringing our base integrations to 47 exiting the year. During Q1 2018, we placed 104 million adverts, which is a 16-fold increase over the 6 million adverts placed during Q1 2017. Sequentially, during Q1 2018, GLN placed 73% fewer ads than the 380 million placed during Q4 2017. Notwithstanding the sequential natural decline in placements, Q1 is a very strong base on which to build from and for the remainder of the year, especially Q4 2018. Gross margins for Q1 2018 were 34%, ahead of the high end of our expectations of annual gross margin, the range between 25 and 30%, and a significant improvement over gross margins of 3% reported for Q1 2017. Our gross margin continues to perform ahead of expectations. It is even more encouraging considering that Q1, again, is typically the weakest for both revenue and gross margins. As we have disclosed previously during our Go Public transaction, we have a pipeline of potentially accretive acquisitions that will scale our revenue and earnings incremental to planned organic growth. On May 21st, we announced that we have entered into an agreement to acquire Impression X, conditional, of course, upon satisfactory due diligence and board approval. I will take this opportunity to provide a little more color on the proposed acquisition. Firstly, Impression X is the connected TV advertising arm of Blabwire, a target that we identified earlier this year. We decided to acquire Impression X specifically because it best aligns with the capabilities of our video exchange platform. It is straightforward to integrate, and it represents the highest growth profile within the Blabwire portfolio. In addition, total consideration for the acquisition is significantly weighted towards performance-based milestones, which limits our cash outlay upfront. In fact, we are quite comfortable to state that we anticipate that 90% of the total potential consideration of the $6 million acquisition will be dependent upon earnings performance milestones attained by the incoming management team. Once definitive agreements are completed in the near term, we will disclose more details. I would like to reiterate that we believe that the proposed acquisition of Impression X is very strategic to our business and highly accretive to earnings. I will now turn the call over to Good Life Network CFO, Constantine Leichenbaugh, to discuss in detail our financial results, including the one-time expenses items related to our public transaction. Constantine, please take it away.
Thanks, Jesse, and good afternoon, everyone. Good Life Network's Q1 2018 performance reflects the benefit of completing 17 previous integrations during fiscal year 2017. As a result, revenue was reported at $1.3 million for Q1 2018, a 2,070% increase over $0.06 million reported during the same quarter of 2017. Gross margin for Q1 2018 calculated at 34%, which is above the high end of our expectation and significantly higher than the gross margin of 3% reported during Q1 2017. Sequentially, gross margin declined to 34 from 45 reported in Q4 2017. The gross margin reported in Q4 2017 was higher than expected due to the algorithm performance, high demand for targeted placement, and ad mix. Gross margin performance for Q1 2018 were better than the forecasted due primarily to algorithm performance despite seasonally weak demand. Adjusted for one-time expenses related to the Go Public transaction, earnings before interest, taxes, amortization, and depreciation, otherwise known as EBITDA, for Q1 2018 was a loss of $370,000 in comparison to a loss of $630,000 for Q1 2017. Excluding non-cash items and interest expenses, total operating expense for the quarter were $700,000, a 22% increase over $630,000 reported in Q1 2017. Going forward, and excluding non-cash items, natural base of operation expenses should be approximately $700,000 per quarter. After repayment of promissory notes with interest, cash settlement of convertible notes, and issuance fees, net cash proceeds from financing was $7.2 million, due primarily to one-time fees, bonuses, and listing expenses of $2.71 million related to the go public transaction. The net and comprehensive loss for Q1 2018 was $2.95 million, or $0.05 loss per share. 5 cent loss per basic and fully diluted share based on a share count of 61 million shares. In comparison, in Q1 2017, net and comprehensive loss was $760,000 or 3 cent loss per basic and fully diluted share when the shares count was 26 million. Based on Q1 performance, GLN is well positioned to meet its revenue and earnings objectives for the financial year 2018, which implies significant growth in both revenue and earnings over those reported for financial year 2017. We're well capitalized for organic growth and are pleased with the financial progress made to date. In addition, we have appropriate resources on hand to complete the ImpressionX acquisition. As at the end of Q1 2018, the company had $2.9 million of cash and $7.5 million of receivables for a total of $10.4 million cash and liquid assets. We continue to collect receipts successfully and there is no foreseen bad debt. Please refer to our SEDAR filings for details related to our RTO as well as our current capitalization table. Jesse?
Thank you, Constantine. We would like to give investors further update on key performance indicators. Scalability. We increased our transactional capacity in Q1 2018 to 110,000 transactions per second, which is a 140% improvement over Q1 2017. Our non-identifiable profile database increased to 518 million records in Q1 of 2018 from 296 million records in Q1 2017. This represents a 57% increase year over year, and we expect to continue to add profile throughout 2018. We anticipate by the end of fiscal year 2018, we will have between 600 and 750 million records approximately. Speed. The average speed of transaction was approximately 200 milliseconds from end to end, with average decisioning speed of approximately 10 milliseconds. As our machine learning algorithms mature, we anticipate that we can maintain or even improve upon transaction speed as our volumes increase over time. Brand safety. During the quarter, our platform rejected 22% of total transaction volume due to inappropriate content and or undesirable publishers. As we scale globally and our algorithms mature, we anticipate that this rejection rate should naturally increase. During Q1 2017, our rejection rate was 13%. Blockchain. We continue to aggressively develop and refine our accounts receivable blockchain strategy. We are in discussions with numerous leading exchanges about integrating our blockchain AR solution directly into highly liquid exchanges. Progress on all fronts has been very good, and we remain fully committed to this very exciting and potentially very lucrative opportunity. Headcount. During Q1 2018, we added zero resources. With the acquisition of ImpressionX, we anticipate that our headcount will increase by two. In addition, we moved into new offices, which better accommodate staff and business development. Although we do not provide official guidance, we can offer some commentary on our outlook and expectations. Integrations. First, as it relates to our growth strategy, you can mark our progress by way of announced integrations. We plan to execute about 30 integrations during 2018, but will only generally announce those that are deemed to be meaningful to revenue growth. We have approximately 23 integrations remaining for the year, after executing 7 integrations in Q1. If we announce integrations, they will generally be for those that add approximately $250,000 per month or more in additional normalized revenue. This means that there may be fluctuations in monthly revenue, but the aggregate annual value should calculate to the monthly rate. During Q1, we announced two integrations. Acquisitions. Expect us to provide more detailed information on the proposed ImpressionX acquisition very soon. As stated in my opening remarks, ImpressionX is an arm of LabWire and represents strong strategic alignment to our programmatic video advertising platform. It's a straightforward integration and should be immediately accretive to earnings. Financial performance. We believe that the base revenue generated during Q1 and the strong gross margins are solid evidence that we're on track to meet full-year revenue and earnings objectives that management has set. We anticipate that revenue performance should follow typical trends with most of 2018 revenue generated in Q4. Again, Q1 is typically the weakest quarter, and we anticipate that it should represent between 4 and 8% of organic growth for the full year. Gross margins for Q1 2018 were above the high end of our expectations. Although we still expect that for the remainder of 2018, gross margins should range between 25 and 30%, the strong margin performance for the last two quarters may represent an opportunity to change our views if Q2 2018 margins are again reported higher than our expectations. Although we added zero headcount during Q1 2018, we anticipate that overall headcount will increase organically as we add more channel managers, we execute more R&D on the platform, and we integrate more partners. We anticipate that headcount will also increase as we complete acquisitions and integrate the operations into ours. Fundamentally, expenses will increase, but we expect them to increase at a rate that is slower than revenue scales. On behalf of Constantine, myself, and the entire team at Good Life Networks, we would like to thank shareholders and investors for their continued support. We've never been more excited about the future of Good Life Networks. Ben, we're ready to take your questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Analysts who wish to join the question queue may press star, then one on their telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. We'll pause for a moment as callers join the queue.
And Ben, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in on what is a holiday south of the border, but also is one of the nicest days of the year, frankly, coast to coast. It's sunny from Vancouver to Toronto, and I just want to thank everybody. I know we have a pretty good turnout. I've seen the list of callers, so thank you for tuning in.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one.
Ben, do we have a caller? Do we have somebody on from Whistler?
Yes, we have. The first question comes from Matthew Bernier of Walter Financial. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. On your tags, is that something that is that a metric that you're still maybe disclosing? Year-end tags were at 441. Where are you now compared to that?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Let me loop in Chris, our CTO. Chris, would you address Matthew's question regarding tags, please?
Yes. Hi, Matthew. Yes, we have continued to add some tags. We anticipate a drop in tags, but we did add around six to that number. As we scaled some back, we actually brought a few extra on. We didn't initially think. So to all intents and purposes, pretty much flat, slight increase. We really are focusing on moving to the integration model.
So if I understood correctly, you added six and removed zero, or you added more and the net add is six?
The net add was six.
And you're scaling that back.
Yeah, we did anticipate. I know when we spoke in the last one of these sessions, we did anticipate it to be slightly lower, but it is slightly higher. But broadly speaking, very similar to where we were at the end of the last quarter.
Okay. And maybe final one for me. On the API integration, the timing throughout the year, does the potential acquisition change your timing? Are you still expecting to do most of the integrations in Q2 and Q3 in preparation for a busy Q4 in terms of ad volume?
Yes, the latter. We still foresee the strategy of Q2 and Q3 being the lion's share, ready for Q4, when we have to focus more on our advertisers, to kind of work more about getting them the volumes and the placements. So, it just the way it played out this year, we did a, you know, Q2 and Q3 will be more busy on integrations. So that remains as we initially discussed.
Okay. And, Constantine, I guess I'll follow up with you on the question for EBITDA. When I looked at your year-end financials, I couldn't find anything, but I'll follow up with you. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no problem, Matthew. Thanks.
Thank you, Matthew. Ken, we're ready for your next question.
The next question comes from Deepak Kaushal of GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, guys. Good afternoon. I dropped off for a bit of the call, so I'm not sure if you guys have answered this question already or if you've already mentioned it. Just wanted to circle back on ImpressionX. I was wondering if you could give us some more color on maybe the history of the company, some of the customers it served or the people involved, and what kind of strategic benefits you might see out of this acquisition.
Yeah, that's a great question.
If you're in a position to be able to talk about this at this stage.
Yeah, no, I think we can. I think, you know, I think, we can talk about some of the generalities in some detail. ImpressionX is owned by the owners of Blabwire, which is a group that we've had commercial terms with for about a year and a half, and a group we like a lot. We know them well, we know their traffic, and we've frankly been making money with them, and it's a good relationship. Connected television, from our perspective, is a very, very quick and upcoming sector of advertising technology, and we wanted to be in it, and we like what they've created for us. You know, you might want to, you know, I think some of the questions, being that you're an analyst, that I think you would, you know, find interesting to have answered, Chris, maybe we talk a little bit about the integration of what connected television means to us. But specifically, before you jump in, Chris, I'll tell you that ImpressionX, I think, was incorporated about 3 years ago. They've been experimenting and getting ready for connected television. They've just recently ramped up revenues. They're growing very quickly. Year-over-year, I would expect them to do $6 million from here to the next 12 months out. I think on our platform, it's accretive and exponential growth. I think, on our video exchange platform, and Chris would agree, I think potentially they could do more than that, and we think they're gonna grow very quickly. So we like the people that own the company. We've known them a long time. They're trusted with us. We have commercial terms with them, and we really like the space that they're in. Chris, I wonder if you could take some of the more technical side off of this for us and answer Deepak's question regarding connected television, why we're getting into it, and how the integration will go.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, connected television, it shares a number of similarities, but also some subtle differences. The good thing about the similarities is it will perform well based on what we do well. It's close enough that things that we do with our algorithms will integrate really well with what they do. The integration itself, because of where we are and what they've done, I'm very confident will be a huge success. They bring a lot of specific expertise to the connected television area, a lot of contracts, a lot of commercial stuff, which allows us to get into it very quickly. Connected television appeals to me a huge amount, because it's you know, in terms of premium content, it's not 60% of all video is going to be shown through a TV set, or 60% of all advertising ahead of premium content will be delivered to a CTV unit in 2018. And it makes sense. We're used to it. We expect, you know, we all watch TV where you see adverts followed by premium content. It's something people expect, and it works. It's easy to measure. It's very effective, and it's the price, we call it CPM, but the cost per advert is significant. which is great too. So I think just to summarize, very positive in terms of the integration between the two. They're bringing to the table the expertise, the contracts, all the things they've got. We're bringing to the table the technology, the algorithms, all of the detailed stuff that's needed to really blow that up. We bring those two together. We're very confident we've got a real opportunity in front of us.
Okay, excellent. And then, Jesse, on the commercial terms, you mentioned earlier on the call 90% of this will be kind of an earnout or contingent on performance. Would that kind of suggest like $600,000 is the cash up front? Is that correct? And how do you price the share component of this deal? Maybe you can walk through some of the financials that you're anticipating.
Sure. Yeah, I would say that you're pretty well spot on with your analysis of the cash component. And if they frankly earn up to a $6 million acquisition price over a couple of years, you know, we would have been thrilled by them because they would have hit their performance benchmarks. The share component is vested over a reasonably long period of time. We anticipate them getting their first chunk of stock at the end of the first year of operations with them. And, you know, one would hope it would be less dilutive than issuing that stock today. And similarly, at the end of year two, there will be another chunk of stock issued to them. One would hope that it would be at a higher price and that the company, you know, for all intents and purposes and everything we've outlined here today is performing and executing and checking those executable boxes as we go. Therefore, by the time that we're issuing shares to Impression X, it's far less dilutive to shareholders and stakeholders of the company.
Okay, so 3 years out, they'll get the same dollar amount, but the number of shares you guys issue can decline depending or increase depending on your stock price.
That is exactly correct.
Okay, excellent. And then just going back to meat and potatoes on the quarter, on the seasonality, you kind of given us a percentage of revenue expecting a typical Q1. How does the rest of the year profile? Because, you know, on the flip side of that, you guys have come in again ahead of your average margin target. And so Q1 is now higher than average, and Q4 we would expect to be higher than average. So just wondering what this means for Q2 and Q3 for us while we wait for the big year-end quarter.
Yeah, Deepak, excellent question. So pretty much the Q1 is one of our slowest quarters. And it's in general, it's one of the slowest quarters in the industry. And yes, we were quite surprised to, you know, be able to arrive at that revenue number. Just to give you a bit of understanding, so the Q1 usually makes up less than 5% of the overall revenue for the whole year. So if you can see, if you, you know, look at that comparison, and Q1 is the smallest one, the most unimportant one, I guess, in the ad tech industry. So for Q2 and Q3, we're definitely expecting a significant increase, and this is why we're quite confident, and we're actually quite happy with the outcome of Q1, and we're quite confident that we will meet our target at the end of the year.
Okay, and so you can't give us a sense of, like, in Q4, are you going to get 50% and the balance is spread equally between Q2 and Q3? Can you give us that kind of granularity at this stage, or?
Well, it's a bit too early to talk about that. I mean, we are definitely aiming to have a really good Q4, same as last year, but it's a little bit too early to talk about the margin. As we said on the last call, you know, we're still working out our margin just to be sure that we can keep up with the high margins. It's just Q4 2017 margins were close to 45%. Now we're 34%. So it's quite important for us to wait and the next quarter and then maybe till Q3 just to see what the margins will be. But, you know, there's not much more detail I can provide you.
Okay, excellent. I'll ask one more question, if I may. I think, if I'm not mistaken, when we pick through your MD&A, we saw some mention of work, you guys working with a third party on mobile phone technology. I'm wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on that. Is that something new, or is that something that you guys have been working on for a while and we might have overlooked?
I get Chris to answer that. Chris, can you take this one?
Yeah, sure. This is a new project that we're working on, Deepak. It's basically baking in the ad tech into applications that are shipped on certain handsets. The reason I'm being a little hesitant is I'm not 100% sure exactly what I can say and can't say on this call, but if I can give you a flavor of it and perhaps come back afterwards once I'm clear what I can and can't say. But basically it's handsets shipped through the US, applications inside those handsets on shipping, and the right and obligation to monetize those. And that is a project we're working on alongside our blockchain project and the core business, all three of which are incredibly exciting. Hopefully that gives you a feel for what it is.
I think so. So if I were to buy a cell phone in the U.S., it would come preloaded with certain apps, and this would contemplate you guys having the ability to monetize advertising on those apps.
Chris, I think you can, as long as you don't mention the name of the companies that we're dealing with, I think you can give him a general overview and the listeners on what we're doing. Just can't mention the company's name.
Okay, understood. Yes, so basically exactly that. Certain make of handsets shipped throughout North America, and exactly that. Those apps are baked into the OS. They are there. They can't be deleted. They offer valuable premium content services and the ability to place pre, mid, and post-roll advertising into those applications. Alongside that premium content is exactly what this project is. And so you can imagine, you know, we've got a captive market. We've got the technology already, which is why this project's going ahead. And it's about another route to market, another significant place. And the content is good, robust quality content, professional quality content mostly. So we foresee people seeing those applications that ship with the handset as very valuable. And so being able to advertise against those, much like we talked about CTV, premium content, people expect to see advertising in exchange. They know that people have to make money from the premium content to make more of it. So we expect those video opportunities to be very valuable and very frequent. We expect good volume. So it's an exciting project, and one that we think, while it takes a little bit of time, you know, it's going to take a bit of time to get it. We're working with, you know, a number of people to make that happen, but we're well on the road on that project. It's been running for several months now, nearly 3 months, and so, you know, it's a very exciting project. I think we'll do good. So hopefully that gives you a good idea for what that project is, how it reaches a significant market at significant scale against premium quality content, and we will be the people who provide those adverts.
Thank you, Chris.
You should have a good captive market.
Excellent, thank you. And then just Jesse or Constantine, on timing for that, is that something that you're hoping or anticipating for 2018? Is it already something you've kind of expected to help you on 2018, or is it beyond this year?
Well, the platform completion, we're definitely aiming for 2018. In terms of generating revenue, it's too early to say if we will be able to do that in 2018 or not. At this point, we're not counting towards 2018, but it might be.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks so much. I'll pass the line.
Deepak, great to have you here. Thank you very, very kindly. Ben, do we have any other calls?
There are no
more. Should we let everybody get to the patio and the golf course and thank them for coming out on such a sunny day?
There are no more questions at this time, so I'd now like to turn the conference back over to Jesse Dillon for any closing remarks.
Once again, on behalf of all of us at Good Life Networks, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You know, officially spring, but it feels like summer, coast to coast. Thank you very, very kindly. You know, we just want to point out a couple of things in closing. We did have a fairly large one-time expense listing fees were really expensive. It took us a long time to get public in the RTO. And we had a large one-time expense of $2.3 million. We're thrilled with the revenue. We're thrilled with the way it's increased. We're pleased overall with Q1 2018. We're very comfortable that this is a fantastic base for us to work from to meet our revenue and earnings objectives for the full fiscal year. So with that, I want to thank the operator, Ben. Great job as always. I want to thank our shareholders and stakeholders for tuning in. And I'd just like to remind you that this call will be archived on our website in the very near future. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.